Do you want to scoot your chair in just a little bit?
Yep.
Can you still be comfortable if you are?
Yep.
Okay.
As long as Philip doesn't mind hitting my feet every once in a while.
Ooh, wait till the corner.
Ooh, oh, hey.
It's going to make it twice as creepy.
That is a new element for sure. That's actually way creepier than the eyeballs. Strangely pleasant, actually. That was you.
That was
a light touch.
That was a light touch,
Philip. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Just took so long to make it from his knee all the way down to his toes. Yeah. Like a pleasant journey.
I'm very lanky.
It's like the drive down to Rochester.
Right. It's just like
it's nice.
It's nice. It's not too long.
No.
But it's
no.
like it's longer than you think.
It's
maybe
long enough.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Long enough to be a drive.
Right. Long enough to know you got into the car that day.
Yep. Yep.
Right. That's how I'll start describing myself. Long enough for a drive.
I am Philip.
I am Matt.
First we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our rimrovers.
Now it's time for Next at Bats.
And we're here today with Shepard and Lyndon. Or Lyndon and Shepard.
No.
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 Shepard and Lyndon.
Branding.
Yes.
Branding?
Yes. I actually get very upset when they go the other way. And I appreciate that they want to give me top billing, but we made a choice.
Or alphabetical order is really what they want.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe they're like, well, I mean, people want to know.
They just see you first because you're so gigantic.
That's not true.
Well, yeah.
Well, if you're walking along the horizon.
Sure. Yeah. Aaron and I usually perform in like large national parks.
During sunset.
And we have them sit like on, you know, like pretty far away. And
sure.
They just appear. Sure. And slowly, we start the scene and then just slowly
well,
make our way down.
I saw your famous hilltop show.
Yes.
And you came over the top of the hill. Mm-hmm. And of course.
Dan, it was like 2 minutes before I appeared.
Right. People were like, oh, it's a solo show.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's this shepherd? So would you please introduce yourselves for any listeners that don't know your lovely voices?
Oh, you start. That's how our name goes.
Okay. I'm Aaron Shepherd of Shepherd and Lyndon.
I'm Dan Lyndon of Shepherd and Lyndon.
And as always, I am here today with...
Philip Simondet of Philip and Matt's Next at Bat.
Sure.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
There's no... there's no reason, malice. It's not like there's.
It's getting tense.
It's not like there's a alphabetical. It's not like chronological. We just picked that. People don't have to know why.
I mean, it rhymes.
We have our reasons. You don't need to know it.
Exactly. That's my point.
Hey, guys.
It's not. It's not public knowledge. Am I right, Philip?
It's a secret reason. Okay.
Yeah.
So, maybe revealed in the final episode, maybe not.
Yeah, and maybe not, and maybe everybody's going to have to be okay with that. And I'm Matt McLeod, by the way. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, you two just finished up a run over at Huge Theater on Huge Wednesdays, and this is your first extended run as a duo.
Yes.
Yes.
And could you, I guess first, could you talk a little bit about what you two do? You two have a fun riff on something that I think many people would recognize and how the show went in general. So talk about what your show's like and how did this run go?
Yeah, we start in a television studio and we are doing a show called Good Morning Maine,
which is the name of the show.
Within our show.
Yes, and it's also the name of the form under the auspices that we will eventually do a different show as Shepherd and Lyndon. Like, we want to give ourselves that freedom and not be like, the morning show duo.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yes. This is your current...
Yes.
Our current form, yeah.
Good Morning Maine.
Good Morning Maine.
Because she just said that one time on stage. I was like, I guess it takes place in Maine. I guess we're in Maine.
Yeah.
and then Dan's character named it the number 3 morning show of Maine.
Yes.
And so that is what it is as well.
Yes.
So kind of what we try to do is we do try to remember details. We start out as the same characters as these morning talk show hosts.
Sure. Tara and Jer,
Teresa and Jerry, and they, because they're in the studio for 4 hours, it's one of those shows where they just talk about nothing forever.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very like pleased with themselves, I think, about...
Or at least, like, they have embraced the agency that the camera affords them.
Sure.
Yes.
Like, whether they're actually happy with right. their lives yeah, or their career is not trajectory.
Have you ever had any cracks in the facade?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Even within, as the just the way the characters are, like, my character. The way I've described it before is like the conversation. Those two characters are basically like us, except dumber. Because mm-hmm. like we have conversations like those two yeah. have. It's just like a enhanced form of it,
magnified.
Where yeah. like, because in real life, like Aaron will say something ridiculous, and I will call her shit out on that.
I don't ever think it's ridiculous. Right. It's always normal stuff.
Yeah,
which is the brilliance.
Exactly. What was the question?
Are there cracks in the facade? Do you ever get to see that these people are maybe not the happy, cheery?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That actually, good segue, Matt. Yeah. That actually Perfect. Goes yeah. into the rest of the show. So what we do is we always start within those two doing their show. And sometimes we will do it with the camera. Like sometimes the cameras will be on, or sometimes it'll be like downtime and we'll just be interacting with each other or our invisible... our invisible, like, Peanuts adult type show producer, Tom, mm-hmm. who will just, like, we will shout to.
Yeah.
yeah. And, like, text before I've even asked, like, oh, do you want me to, like, and I'm like, nope.
No. We never want to hear from Tom.
No, I never want to hear from Tom. I always just want to react to Tom, which is delightful. And then what we will do, if somebody says something that we want to explore, we will... sort of do like a modified tag out where we will either like, for example, I will either like spin out of the scene so that she stays as the character, the mm-hmm. morning show character. Mm-hmm. And then I'm playing someone else in her life. Or if I want to keep my character intact and interact with someone else in my life, I can just like pull her around me so that like, that's just the physicality that we've like, put into our heads to understand
to help
what
us
we're,
know
what, we're
what we want.
It's
so
kind of a cue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we know if I stay on my side,
yes.
mm-hmm.
then, and he goes to my other side, I'm still the same character. If he pulls me to the other side, then I'm somebody in his
life.
And
vice versa.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
And then what we try to do and what we always say we're going to do, which we don't always, because we get just looped into a scene that we were enjoying too much. Ideally, and we've done it a few times to, I think, pretty good results.
Yeah.
Like, once we spin out that first time, we'll then spin out a couple more times until we're, mm-hmm. like, completely detached from those initial characters.
And then you'll bring it back.
Yeah. Well, in theory.
In theory, yeah.
Sure.
It's, but we wanted to work with a form that afforded us to get away from the studio, or if we found something really interesting, like if we spin out a couple times... maybe there's a character that comes out that is intriguing. We want to spend some time with them. So mm-hmm. that gives us kind of infinity
options. You do keep following where these characters then take you. You don't necessarily have to continue to be one of the two.
Right, yeah. Right. So like if we spun into something happening in Jer's life, maybe then I become his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe she says something that we're like, oh, that's interesting. Let's see what that is. So then maybe we go into her life, her work life,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and then maybe she has a coworker that's going through a thing, and we're like, that's interesting. So then we can go into that coworker's
mm-hmm.
life,
mm-hmm.
and so then we're now several steps removed from
mm-hmm.
Tara and Jer at yes. the morning show,
right?
And we always have the freedom of like coming back,
yeah,
just straight back to the chairs, and then we know that we're back
at
the morning
anchor.
Show,
yes.
yeah.
yeah,
which has helped,
yeah.
a lot before,
sure.
And we also, and we haven't done this too much, but we've done it a couple times, and like it's an element that I like, that I want, you know, that I, it's one of those things that like basically like a good chunk of this form is just like, let's have these in the shit, like have these in the back of our heads of things we can do, so that one, we have the freedom to kind of like still do whatever we want, but also just as a challenge,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like
yeah.
it's just like that's kind of what I like about, duos, and this is the only duo, well, besides Jaquette, but Jaquette and I just do like horrible. Our duo is like, let's do an idea that sounds horrible once and see what happens. but what I always found fascinating about duos, just watching them, is like, just because there's only one other person in the juggling act, like right. you can really push things and really challenge yourself because you know there's only one X factor, which is the choices of the other person. Whereas if you're in like a larger ensemble, like you can try to do something huge and like make a crazy move. You're like, this might not pay off.
Right.
And then like you could either crash and burn instantaneously because right. like three people have no idea what it is you're trying to do.
Right.
And then you just are like, oh, well. Okay.
Or it can, oftentimes it just gets lost in the shuffle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, and I think the nice thing about playing with a duo is you do get to know each other really well,
right.
and so you can kind of, you can see that they have an idea or that they're going somewhere and give them the space to do that, mm-hmm. whereas in a larger ensemble, it can sometimes be difficult if you haven't been playing with them enough for everybody to get a sense of who everybody or right. how everybody plays.
Yeah.
Another thing that we like to do is take each other's characters, and mm-hmm. so we still have the freedom of populating the stage with more than just
yes.
us.
Thank you for finishing. Thank you for finishing the thought I started 5 minutes ago.
So like because we're a morning talk show, of course it's fun to have guests sometimes, uh-huh. And sometimes the audience suggestion is just ripe for becoming a guest, mm-hmm. and so we'll invite somebody out, and then one of us will take on that guest, and then that gives us freedom to be any of the three characters on yeah. stage.
And that usually, like anytime we do it, which has only happened a couple times, like we've always gotten a really positive response when we play each other's characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are delighted
when you become Teresa.
I am Teresa, yeah. and she. Usually, it's more when she is Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because our physical dynamic is so vastly yes. different.
But also, like the first time we did it,
for the listeners right. who don't know Dan and Aaron, Dan is, are you 6'5"?
I'm 6'4" and 1/4.
And Aaron, you are
5'2" on a good day.
Yeah. Okay.
yes. So that I mean, I think that's fun for people. But then also, just like we tend to. At least Tara and Jer, like the core characters, are like very much, you know, it's because it's our anchor, like they're very much enhanced versions of ourselves, so that they're very much in our wheelhouse. So like mm-hmm. Teresa is like this very like hyper positive, she's
pretty optimistic,
like yeah. optimistic, just like, you know, she's always just like brightly smiling,
and she believes pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if mm-hmm. she reads it, it's fact.
Yeah.
Oh sure.
And Jerry's like this very cynical. He's sort of like, I don't know, he's not like a negative person, but I feel like he's just very put upon by the world. Jerry is very much based on like my dad.
Okay.
Like he's just like, he's seen some shit. He has his opinions. He's pretty open to other people's opinions, but he is very much ready to express his own.
Sure.
So like the first time we did it, we got a huge reaction mm-hmm. because people were so delighted with like how aggressive and like, I don't know, like they were so delighted when you just kept interrupting me and like aggressively gesturing.
Because that's what he does.
Because that's, yeah, sure. I mean, that's what I do. That's just what I do in general. I just do that in life. And that was actually like, that was like on stage, like in the back of my head, it was like a very like insecure moment. I'm like, oh my God, is this how I always improvise? Am I always just the dick who's like cutting people off mid-sentence? And I like had this like moment just like, oh my God, I have to like rethink my entire so thank you for that teachable moment.
You know, anytime I can hold a mirror up to you. So it's been really fun for us as a duo to play mm-hmm. with trying on each other's characters, and then it also encourages us to make really specific character choices.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When we have a guest come out, to find a character that is separate enough from Tara and Jer, because that's a challenge. I mean, like the nice thing mm-hmm. about Tara and Jer is they are so different that, you know, it's fairly easy to slip in and out of those
either
two characters.
Yeah.
But then having a guest, like if the guest is too close to how we are in regular life, then that is really difficult to switch in and out of.
Yes.
And we've typically been really weird. We've had really weird
guests. Yeah, they basically have been like borderline, like we don't ever name like where they're from, but like they're very often just have like ridiculous accents.
Sure.
Just so that it's like very clear, like now we're this guy.
Yep.
You know, which is kind of cheap, but we're just starting
we're
out,
still
guys.
Learning.
We're still figuring it out.
My name is Yakov. I am an apricot
vendor. Well, we had some, we had one where it was just, some vaguely foreign, lens maker
or something? Oh, yeah, he made the special glass.
And neither of us, at the afterwards, I'm like, neither of us had any fucking idea what that object actually was that we were talking about. We just kept talking about it. But I swear to God, neither of us had any, clear vision of what we were doing.
I had a clear vision of what I was doing. Sure you did. But it was very nebulous. Yes. So.
Sure.
That's what I just said.
Well, I could envision it in my head.
Yeah, I could envision a slab of glass sitting on a thing. Sure. Oh,
for me, it was just hanging in the air. It wasn't sitting on anything.
All right. Well, this marks the end of Shepherd and Lindy.
Sure. Yeah, no. How many groups have we ruined?
Oh, boy. Well, it's your invasive questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's just cutting too deep, McCoy.
Yeah.
That's why you're first on the billing, I guess.
So that we feel safe coming in. I hear that McCloud's a real...
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Well,
you guys have a good chemistry. You should rebrand as Lyndon and Shepherd and come on back.
It's harder to say.
I think so. Other people are like, no, yeah. It's not. But then when you actually make them say it a few times, I'm just like, I feel like if you are awkwardly hosting an improv show and just trying to get through it,
sure.
I feel like it is way easier to just be like, and now Shepherd and Lyndon instead of... I feel like N to sh is harder than... D to
L.
And.
L. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's better than.
That's like your.
Yeah, name. That's easier than Denenship. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody try it at home and write in to Next at Bat. So I've actually corrected it on the whiteboard wall before. Mm-hmm. If people write it down, I'm just like, no. I think branding is important, you guys.
It is. And so is chemistry. See how I segued there?
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah. You should be top billed.
You know, one would think. Anyway.
This is getting tense.
No. I mean, it's fine. It's no big deal.
No,
right?
Right. Sure, buddy.
I mean, Aaron, it's no big deal, right? It's no big deal. No, who's on the
I'm
front?
I'm top billed, so it really is no big deal.
But
for
you don't care, right? It's not a.
No, I mean, I'm not picky about it. But I mean.
Right. You know,
it's
I think I should be talking to Dan about this. So, anyway, guys, chemistry is really important. And how would you describe the chemistry between the two of you? As you said, you're relatively new as a duo, but you've known each other for a long time.
Yes.
How would you describe the chemistry that you have as a duo? I think we all know, at least objectively, that as a duo, the trust has to be, complete.
Yes.
And how's that going?
Good. I think for me, there's a couple of things that I think work for us. And one is that our character choice dynamic, I think, tends to be, our comfort characters tend to be very different from each other, which I think kind of offers a complementary... we foil each other a lot.
Right.
And then I think the other thing that I appreciate is that Dan doesn't let things that fall out of my mouth drop, which I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That is a thing that, I've played on teams before where, maybe they didn't hear it or maybe they didn't know what to do with it. And it's, I appreciate with Dan that, it doesn't matter. You don't have to know what to do with it. He's like, you said something weird. Tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I appreciate about our duo. Aww.
I don't know. Aaron and I have done a lot together. We came up through classes together, and we have been asked to be in groups together before. So we have improvised a lot together, and I think part of what I like is we ended up doing a lot of scenes together in bigger groups because you and I are both the kind of people who are just like, oh, well, fuck it, and just stepped out and here we go. So a lot of times we would be the two to do that, so we just always end up entering scenes together all the time. And I think that... that's sort of a nice shorthand way of saying that we have similar energy to our style of improv in that I don't feel like either of us are like trying to be like super intellectual with our moves, mm-hmm. or you know, like neither of us are trying to like out funny everybody else on stage necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like there's no, I feel like our goal, both of us, is just to like have a good time and like just have fun with it. And I think that translates well on stage because like we can, I mean, I totally fuck with her on stage all the time. Like, sure. I mean, like she said, like I will pick up on like some insane word choice she made. And like, really, like sometimes I'm glad that we have, like I'm glad that we play these characters because like I can be really mean to you sometimes in the context of the show. In a way, like I don't know where I'm going with
this. Well, I think it works for the characters. Like when I'm being Teresa, like I kind of like let all like self edits in my brain go and just kind of, it's very, stream of consciousness the way that she is. And so it is nice to like you say mean, but I think that it's kind of picking up those things that it's going to make it a funny show.
Right. And I guess I should say, like, I don't think it's not mean. It's not really like mean in that, like,
it'd be if we were real people.
Sure. doing that. But I usually catch myself when I start to get really cutting, like, I always try to then make Jerry say something really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's definitely, and like, that's something I think about. Like, if I start just like harping on something weird you said, like, I always try to bring it back around to, like, some dumbass thing coming out of my mouth.
Sure.
To show that, like, it's not, like, again, to show, because I don't want this character to be an asshole. I just want him to be, like, very opinionated. And then part of the fun of it is just, like, he has opinions, but he's not that well informed.
Does he pick up on social cues well? Does he know he's being abrasive?
Kind of does.
Sort of.
I think the thing that is makes Tare and Jer a good fit for each other on Good Morning Maine, Maine's number 3 talk show.
Yeah, tune in.
Is that they're both super opinionated, and so they have varying opinions.
Yes.
But so that when he gets to be too mean, if her opinion is the opposite of whatever he's talking about, she shuts it down. In that way, you know, where it's like a friendly of like, mm-hmm. you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're just so stupid. Or, well, she would never say that, but
not
like,
that directly,
but it's like, but she's like, well, that's ridiculous. That doesn't exist because I read on the internet that this other thing exists.
Sure.
And so like, I think it's a nice match, I guess.
Well, and I think that, I don't know, like back to just like our chemistry in general, like I think that's like part of the reason I think the duo works. And part of the reason I like doing the duo is like, part of the reason I even thought it would be a good idea to do it in the first place is like Aaron and I just like do this, like I said, like we kind of just do this in real life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you and I have like ridiculous conversations and
about
like
stupid shit.
About stupid shit. But also but I just mean like we like each other enough and trust each other enough where I know I can kind of rip into you.
Yeah.
And like you know it's just like playful and not like, oh no, guys.
That was a fake sign.
Uh-huh. Is mostly fake. I'm sure there's a little.
I think by the end he's gonna have to go with, you know, a permanent shepherd over Lyndon.
Oh yeah.
might even just have to call it Shepherd.
Just
and Shepherd and Friends.
Shepherd and Friends.
And guest.
Oh. Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Wow.
It's working, Philip.
Wait a minute.
Anyway.
soon we'll be the only improv team in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, that's right. One thing I've known both of you for a while,
mm-hmm.
and one thing that I've noticed is that both of you are equally comfortable working absurd as you are working grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And do you find that comes into play in your shows?
Yes.
Do you go zany and then bring it back down, and do you kind of run the gamut? How dynamic are your scenes from one to the next? Would you say?
It kind of depends on the set.
Yeah,
sure. like, depending on how the studio scene is going, sometimes we spend a long time at the studio because mm-hmm. we're getting to a lot of places or we're having
sometimes an entire set on accident and suddenly the lights go out. Like, oh, like, that was the show. Okay.
That was 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's, you know, like if we're having, sometimes having a guest on kind of has that, keeps us in the studio, or having a lot of interactions with Tom, or if our characters are really at odds with something, like they're on two opposite sides of, like their opinions are really conflicting, mm-hmm. then we'll spend a long time in the studio. And then there are other sets where it's like, we're not really feeling it. And mm-hmm. so we'll get out of there much sooner. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I think when we get into Teresa's life, it tends to go absurd, because her opinions are so weird. Like, she hates art. She's got a friend that makes, like, put celebrities' faces on hot dogs. Right. Like, she's got, like, this kind of...
Yeah.
She tries anything.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, like, so a lot of times that's where, like, she'll be talking about something in studio, and then she'll talk about something that she's done.
Yes.
And then we'll go see that.
Right. Like, we've had a lot of shows where, I always, you know, I sometimes end up just, like, you know, grabbing onto something weird Aaron says and just like commenting on it. But with this show, like, I always am trying to keep an ear out of, like, if she says something that I want to actually like go for, like, use that as something, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm always waiting for you to say something that I can just like jump out into a new scene with.
Yeah.
But I also, it's also fun to just like, you know, comment on it within that character. But I think in terms of like the dynamism of the show, we always, like, when we first started talking about putting this form together, like, I really wanted to keep that open.
Yeah.
You know, like, we talked about that kind of at the beginning when we first started figuring out the show, of just, we both wanted to feel like we had the option of doing more sincere scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, you know, like I said, like, we've been in other groups together with other people, and those groups tend to be just like balls to the wall crazy.
Right.
You know, so that always ends up being the primary focus of the show. And it ends mm-hmm. up being the primary focus of our show too, just because, like, yeah. we're both, like, as much as we say, like, oh, we're going to do like these very grounded scenes, like, we're both cartoon characters.
But you work at a different pace know? Than those previous groups.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And we at least know in the back of our heads, like, we don't have to go bonkers.
Right. And we've gotten to some places, like, we've had some grounded, we had a really nice grounded scene between Jared and his wife mm-hmm. that, like, mm-hmm. Was kind of surprising. Like, it was a complete energy shift mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. what the show is, a complete energy shift from what we usually do. And then we got to see Teresa at home one time with her neighbor, and that, again, was, like, a complete energy shift from what she's usually like
yeah.
and then what the show tends to be. So it's nice to have that freedom and again, a duo partner that, you know, you trust each other, like, because I feel
they,
like,
can go there
mm-hmm. yeah right. And so, like, if you can see that your partner wants to go somewhere or you're heading somewhere, just trusting each other, like, you have a thing, let's just go mm-hmm. there, or I trust that you will follow me here, like, that's a really nice,
just to have that flexibility
thing mm-hmm. yeah.
So what's next for you guys? I mean, I know that the shows aren't there currently,
right
mm-hmm. but you said that this is your form for now. Has it changed from the beginning?
I think we've just managed to hit on the things we talked
yeah.
about. Like, we had most of the elements of the show in our heads from the beginning, but it took us a while to actually, like,
get to where
feel like we yeah. could do it. Mm-hmm. Like, the first few shows we did, we basically spent almost the whole time as those anchor characters mm-hmm. because we just, like, hadn't, like,
established them.
We were still working out that element of the show, where, like, after show, we're like, oh, we didn't really explore the world at all,
mm-hmm.
even though, even like from the get-go, like, that was in the form, at least in our heads,
right.
to the point where, like, even on this Wednesday run, in later shows, when we did, like, a lot more kind of branching out, people would ask us, like, oh, did you change the form of the show? Because people who saw, like, our first couple shows, we spent so much time
right.
as those two characters that they thought that we had, like, you know, we had a break in the middle of our run because of a special March Madness themed event at Huge.
Right.
So we
it's called Troika.
I don't know. I don't know if I want, whatever. Yeah. You're welcome. I whatever. I had a fake rivalry with Dan and Ellen, the producers of that show, about how they cut into our run. But.
Yeah.
Dan and Ellen Jaquette, producers of Trick of Madness over at Huge Theater.
Yes. Also 31st and Lindale. We Know Each Other. Yeah. Who I think have been on your show.
Yeah, they have been on our show. You should go check out We Know Each Other on Next at Bat with Philip and Matt.
Nice. It's Philip and Matt's Next at Bat. Branding is important.
Yes, sir.
Praise Philip.
Something that we, like, we've gotten more comfortable with the format, like, yes. That having this run has been really helpful to us to kind of hone in on, like, what do we like about it, what do we want from it.
Did we ever branch out of the core characters in our first go-go run? Or did we always stay with those
we did,
two?
We stayed with the two. We branched into their lives, but we never went further out. Okay. So this run was the first time that we actually saw where we had scenes that ended with no terror, no dare. Like,
detached.
It was just completely different people. Or we'd, like, spin all the way out to, like, three or four people removed and then spin back in so that one of them would reappear. But it's a fun part of the forum to kind of see how far out can you go. And what we're interested in with this format specifically is trying to make it and build it into a longer show.
Sure.
It would be fun to have a little bit more structure where we begin and end in the studio, but then anything that happens in the middle could be like I think it's very satisfying to get as far away as you can and then take that journey back and then end where you started. Like, it's a very nice story structure.
Yeah, a good frame mechanism. Sorry, one second. Philip, you know, originally it was Next at Bat with Matt and Philip. I'm just saying.
We tried it.
Yeah.
We didn't like it. We switched it for
Brandon. No, you didn't like it.
It's okay. It rhymes, guys.
I am we. Okay.
Oh, you are we. Okay. No, that's fine.
I don't think they were even listening
I'm very
to me.
Right now. Sorry,
we have guests right now. We should talk about this later.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
We will talk about this later.
We will talk about this.
I'll just go start the car.
Okay.
Matt and Philip will talk about this later. Anyway, Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
Sorry.
Hey.
I thought we were on a break.
Oh, no. Sure. We were.
So.
Really nice.
You mentioned format.
Yes.
What is next? Do you have an idea for any other formats that you'd like to maybe explore in the future?
Oh.
Well, we've done something in rehearsal because we don't want to rehearse with Tara and Jer just because we don't want to lose any of the magic.
Sure, and you try to keep things like the continuity, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like we actually have a now very neglected
Wikipedia
Google document that we share between us just to like remember like the name of Jerry's wife and like like we try to retain at least like some very basic elements to the characters. And I even said when we first started the document, I even said to Aaron, it's like, I mean, it's improv, so if we change one of these, we can just change it and that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as we try to keep it consistent enough where the two of us know what the other one's talking about.
Right.
And I mean, like, you once named my wife, or you named my character's daughter. And I had to think of this and it's like, is that right? And it took me a minute. I'm like, no, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But so we try to at least remember like the name of my character's wife, the name of his daughter, the fact, I think we have the name of her ex-husband.
I think it's Ted.
It
doesn't matter. No. He's no longer in the picture.
Right.
So.
And I'm sure she's better off without him.
Yeah. But she has a sister and a brother.
Yeah.
And the sister's come up quite a few times and a nephew and a niece that have come up. But yeah.
And now we've given her a lot of like flustered neighbors in the last couple of shows.
She has a lot of neighbors.
She has a lot of
don't
like
really
neighbors
get her.
That like very tolerant.
Does she live in flustering circles?
I feel like she lives in a duplex that is, probably in a circle.
You
drive.
Thought that was a duplex?
Why? Because she had an upstairs neighbor that came down.
I thought he was downstairs.
Check the Google document.
This is what we need to update the document every show.
What's the format that you were working on?
In rehearsal, what we do so that we're not spending any tear and jare monies,
improv bucks.
What we'll try to do is just do a really hugely populated scene. Mm-hmm. And so we'll basically puking dinosaur into like whenever the phrase becomes the thing that we want to hold on to, then that's the character. And then the other person will become the other person in the scene.
Sure.
And then we will just spin out into different parts of those characters' lives. And that's been, it's been fun to try to figure out like, how can we create a situation where we're like maybe we're employees at a coffee shop, so we're also being the coffee shop customers as well as the employees.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know, and then kind of like digging, you know, a phone call comes in, and you know, and how do you kind of manage all of these characters?
Yeah.
And make them as different as you can, so that you can, so that if we slip into somebody, I know who he's being, so that I know who I should be, mm-hmm. if we're kind of building across. But so kind of again taking that spin out or a tag out kind of edit and getting as far away as we can and then coming all the way back has been a useful rehearsal tool and would be fun to, I feel like would be fun to play with on totally. Stage too.
Ideally we want to like build the show out to be like longer, like something that could kind of feature as its own slot, you know, mm-hmm. on a bill, mm-hmm. like not like a huge Wednesday thing where it's just sort of like, you know, here's a mm-hmm. potpourri of improv, but like yeah. an actual, just like, this is the show, mm-hmm. you know, we've talked about it. We haven't.
Yeah.
Well, it just ended, you guys. Yeah. It's exhausting.
Well, I had a thought. It almost seemed like a spinoff of Viewers Like You to me. It's kind so of it could be like, yeah. You have a show that's all other shows right. on that network.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we got to bring
in. Oh my gosh.
Philip, we're trying to be a duo here. Awkward.
Speaking of Philip, now it's the time of the show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner. It's Philip's Corner.
Phil
Nye, the corner guy.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Hi, guys. This is a new segment of the show. What I'm going terrified. To do, you should be, because here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to take turns.
He's going to touch feet.
This yeah. I'm going to stare at you
my
awkwardly.
My feet are under my chair.
I'm going to run
they were,
my...
Yeah, sorry, they were pretty far away.
Yep, I'm,
there you go.
I'm now staring into Dan's eyes.
Yep.
And, running my foot slowly.
But like...
From his knee.
It's pleasant. It's not...
I like that you go, down. You start top, and work your way down.
Yeah, I feel like conventionally... Like,
it's the other... I think it's the other way.
It's like
I'm
a drive to Rochester.
Yeah. Well, he's showing that we're just friends. Like, he's starting closer to the genitals and then moving down. And then
being like, whereas, like, don't worry about me.
Yeah, don't worry. This
on
is just
the roof
for...
of his foot. Because
you know it's not going to get too close. It already starts his toes.
Oh, sorry. Touching. Yeah. Ooh, that's actually... That is the most
actually
part.
Respectful.
Oh, that part was a little weird. The first part was fine, but I'm very ticklish. So that part where our toes touch was just sort of like, okay.
And now I'll ask a okay, question. Great. Now that we're...
Very. Yeah. Now that we're very close.
Dan.
Yes, Philip.
Where's the most public place that you've been intimate?
Wow.
You can interpret intimate as however you want.
Oh.
It could just be kissing. Or it could be what we just
Or it
started.
Could be talking about feelings.
Just a moment of vulnerability.
Oh, God.
Guess right here, right now.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I'm going to retouch this.
I don't know. I've led a very boring life when it comes to intimacy because I'm terrified of it.
Okay, a new version of okay. the question. Where's the most public place you've had like an argument?
Oh, boy. Mm. Ooh, okay.
So much easier.
It is way easier. I mean, I guess that is a form of intimacy too, which is also terrifying. I'm very repressed, you guys. There was a time in college. I was a young ingenue coming into me. There was a time in my freshman year where I was like just getting to know like my roommates and their friends because they were all pretty tight. Like they'd known each other for a few years because they were older than me. And I went to the U, and the U is huge and overpopulated. So they just like stuff freshmen into dorms with other people.
Oh, great.
Wow.
When they first get there, if they don't register early, which I didn't because I didn't.
They use shoehorns.
Yes, it's terrifying. It's like in Japan where they have those figures who are just there to push people into crowded mm-hmm. trains. That's a thing. Look it up.
That is a thing.
But we got into, this was the height of.
That was a hype thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. When did I go to college? Oh, this was like right when we were ramping up like the grand, you know, we'll be greeted as liberators. Let's go save the Middle East, USA number one.
Mm-hmm.
So things were pretty tense because it's a college campus and we all think we know exactly what's best for the country and the world and that we think we're well informed, which we are not because we're dumb kids. But I got into a political argument, sort of, with people at, like, we were eating in the dorm cafeteria. And I can't remember what we were talking about. There was this one guy who was just like, he didn't have the greatest social skills and would just like shut people down like very aggressively and just like not actually listen to you at all. And I said something that was like vaguely, like I was sort of, I consider myself a libertarian in college, but I realized in retrospect, I was just like a like uninformed Buddhist with anger issues. So I was saying something that was like relatively conservative, especially for a state school in Minnesota. But I didn't, I also like was not, like I wasn't, I was relatively apolitical too. I just sort of like absorbed opinions from my friends. I was just like, sure, that sounds reasonable. And then, but so the kid, this is becoming a horrible story. It's taking too long. Just go take a nap. All right,
I gotta go to the bathroom.
All right. Anyway, so this guy who's just like very, Aaron.
So rude.
Who was just very like, he just wasn't someone who could actually have a conversation. He's just like, oh, typical Republican bullshit. And like, I was just already like just trying to explain my position. I just like very loudly, like just like like stood up and just screamed like, I am not a fucking Republican, and like stormed out of the cafeteria to like silence, because everyone's just like, oh shit.
If you silence the whole cafeteria.
Yes. Declaring, which I think maybe I would have made some friends. Like, oh, good for him, because this is a very liberal school. Relatively, except for the corners of Republicans who I got to know surprisingly well, because my friend worked on the Bush campaign that year or the next year.
Ew.
Anyway, it was very awkward. So I immediately, because I am actually usually a very irrational human being, I immediately like stopped at the door of the cafeteria, turned around, and awkwardly walked back to the table and was just like, I am sorry. That was unnecessary. And then I had like a very tense completion of my meal.
And then you ate your chicken patty.
Yeah, right. I ate Salisbury steak. Exactly. I stuffed my feelings deeply back down inside.
Yeah.
Where I'd kept them for 18 years with a chicken patty. Yeah. And then I went back to my room and had an emotional breakdown because it was like, holy shit, that was intense. Great story.
All right, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, now I'm going to stare at Aaron.
He's like the Will Roberts of political stories.
I'm going to try to reach her leg, but I don't know if I can.
My legs are much shorter than
I literally cannot reach Aaron's leg, so we'll only do the staring part.
She has more just like a large foot, like a snail. Like it's all just like one unit, like her body just sort of like propels itself. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron.
Yes.
If you could take one attribute from an animal and make it your own as part of you, what would you absorb?
Oh my gosh. I have to just choose one. I've heard from the internet that otters are actually terrible to each other, aside from the videos where they're holding hands. Right. But I love how like wiggly and playful they are at the zoo, like if you go to the otter exhibit. So I think I would want to have that like boundless energy.
You don't?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not living the dream right now?
I guess maybe I should be more specific. It doesn't look like it hurts their bodies when they do things.
There you go.
So I would like me to be able to be that playful without hurting my body.
So you want to be like six again?
Basically.
Okay. Yeah.
Just in the body. Yeah. Well, no, that's weird. Yeah. In healing. Like, yeah. I think I broke my toe in October, and it's still a little bit like a cartoon toe. So,
did you ever get that checked out?
Not yet.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Can I dovetail off of that for a second? So, I was at my brother's house recently, and he has a 4-year-old. Mm. And his name is Benny. And Benny was running on hardwood floor, jumping and landing on his knees.
Yeah.
And oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is like running and jumping and he's 4, so he has not great coordination. Yeah. So he was just landing on his knees.
Oh God.
And he was getting up and doing it over and over and over again. And it hurt watching.
You describing it just now, I'm like cringing.
But he was just like, this is fun. Yeah. And I'm like, God, I wish I could do that.
Right?
Yeah.
I wish I could do that so bad.
Especially.
I can't even stand up from a chair without one of my knees hurting.
Or especially like with improv, when it can just suddenly become like a very unexpectedly physical moment. Like there are so many shows where after them just like, you don't even remember what you did, but you're just suddenly like, what happened to this limb on stage?
I'll be in the shower the next morning and there'll be a giant bruise somewhere, and I'll be like, what the fuck?
Where did that come from?
I don't get it.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to live this long, you guys.
Middle ages? We'd all be dead by now. Yep.
I might still be like kicking it.
How old are you?
31.
Yeah, you're.
I'd be like, I'd be like, I have like consumption.
You'd be the sage of the town.
Yeah, right.
How old are you, Philip?
I'm 31.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'd probably be dead.
I'd be dead. Matt's attribute would be a dovetail, because he's always dovetailing on the end of Philip's core questions. Matt.
God damn it, Philip.
Why didn't I get that question? I'm a huge like zoology nerd. I could have been like,
remember where I got the most publicly intimate, so.
It's all about.
Damn it, I should have went Shepherd Lynn.
Exactly.
Final question for the both of you, quick one.
Share a microphone.
Yeah, share a microphone.
This is very publicly intimate right now.
Does Good Morning Maine have a catchphrase?
Ooh.
And if not, please make one now.
Together at the same time.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll say the title first so that we have that. Colon. Say colon.
Okay. And then we'll go for it. All right. Okay.
Good morning, Maine. Colon.
Riding the sun to. Today.
Riding the sun today.
That's
amazing.
This is why we're the number three show.
And that has been Phillip's Corner.
Yay!
Phillip's Corner. Here comes Philip. Emerging from the corner. That's the outro song.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You guys ready to do some improv?
Yeah.
Sure.
I guess.
Next up, Pat!
Babe, when you go to the store to get milk, will you get me a pint of ice cream?
What?
Babe, when you go to the store to get milk, will you get me a pint of ice cream?
Pie cream?
Pint of ice cream.
What is pie? You want to make like a whipped cream?
Come in the dining room.
I hate it when mom and dad yell at each other down the stairs.
I can't. I have the bags already. I already have the bags.
Bill. Put your head under the pillow.
Okay.
Bill, come into the dining room.
I put my shoes on. I don't want to. We just cleaned the floors. You want me to track all this shoe crap into the.
No, you weren't that considerate of it the first time.
All my friends talk about.
That's because I was carrying that new fan, that ceiling fan that we installed. It was so heavy.
All my friends.
You're welcome, by the way, for installing that ceiling fan.
About when their parents are fighting and. Sounds like ours are when they yell.
Kids, could you be quiet for a second, please?
We are being quiet.
What was that?
My head's under a pillow.
I'm sorry.
We are being quiet.
Hey, can we cut the tood a little bit, please?
I don't have any attitude.
I'm hearing some tood.
I don't have any attitude.
Oh, really? Well, what do you call that stance? What do you call that vocal?
What stance?
Oh, I don't know. With your arms crossed and your eyebrow raised?
Whatever.
Don't you whatever me, Missy. Okay?
Sounds like you can hear the kids perfectly fine in there, Bill.
They're right next to me. They're right next to me. There's an entire floor between us. Come on.
Come to the dining room.
Fine. Okay, what?
I want you to pick me up a pint of Jerry and Ben's when you go to the store, okay?
What is that?
Ice cream.
That I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, you have. It's the kind I always get. Jerry's and Ben's, the chubby hubby. Like I wish you were.
What?
Yeah.
You want me to put on weight?
Yeah, you're a thin rail of a man.
I run. I enjoy running. I'm sorry that my metabolism is so kick-ass.
Feels like you're running from me.
No, come on.
Okay. You're training for your marathons, but really it's just how many hours can I spend out of the house and away from Barb?
No, it's how many hours can I spend in this wonderful fresh air until I come back here where our stinky-ass, tood-filled kids are just suffocating me.
I'm not stinky.
Honey.
And you swear.
What?
You swear.
What?
You used a swear word.
Don't you use that mispronounced word with me, okay? I know what you're doing. Swear. I know what you're doing.
I smell.
Thank
you. Yeah, he smells.
I smell.
Dad, you swear. You owe me $5.
Dad, you did swear.
Did I swear? Did I swear?
Put a coin in the swear jar.
Put $5 in my wallet.
No.
Mom, it's pronounced jur.
Sorry. Put a buck in the swear jar.
The what?
The swear jar.
Is that the ice cream? All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to this meeting. We're gonna launch this newest cleaning product. We're calling it the Swerger.
Swerger.
I, for one, am thrilled. Tell us about it.
Todd, the Swerger is a compressed. Water-soaked cloth attached to a series of rotating rods, thus allowing you to clean multiple surfaces at multiple.
It looks like an old soapbox derby.
I don't get that reference, sir, but I will write that down and send it down to the boys in R&D.
Will it even work in my car?
Can we take a sidebar for a second, gentlemen?
Sure.
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to prompt you.
This isn't an infomercial. This is just, we're just presenting to the board.
Yeah, but I'm like your co-presenter.
They know we worked on this together. You don't have to ask dumb rhetorical questions.
But it's not rhetorical. I would say, but can it work in my car?
You know it'll set a car on fire. And now you're forcing me to tell them that this prototype is going to set a car on fire.
Well, I wonder whose fault that is.
You brought it up.
No, I brought it up, but you made the product so that it sets cars on fires.
Hold on. We worked on this together. We were a team.
And somebody took it home one night, and now it sets cars on fire.
No, it's okay. It's not setting a car on fire because I brought it home and used it on my car.
You were working on it without me. We are partners.
I took the prototype from the boys in R&D, and I said, I'm going to try this in the car. And they all looked down and shielded their eyes from me and kind of mumbled something. And I was just like, oh, you know.
You
they're
need
all...
to ask a question.
I just figured.
Can I use this in
I
my
just
car?
Figured they're all on the spectrum. They don't like to make direct eye contact. They have some intimacy issues maybe. I was just like, all right, I'll just leave you to your ones and zeros and your.
Well, that's rude.
If you don't mind, we're going to take a quick sidebar.
Oh, sure, sure. Oh, thank you, sir.
Okay.
I know it's not correct, but I still enjoy Jimmy John's sandwiches.
Why is it not correct? Is Jimmy John's one of these conservative companies that are giving money to things that I don't appreciate?
Yes.
What are they doing?
The owner likes to shoot large game and take pictures, and he makes his employees sign non-compete agreements.
The Jimmy John's guy.
That's the Jimmy John's. That's what I said, Jimmy John's.
They have boring sandwiches anyway.
They do have boring sandwiches, but their pickles are delicious. So I still enjoy ordering Jimmy John's, and I don't care what anybody says.
I feel like you can get pickles anyway.
I don't know.
What makes their pickles so
good? Well, they slice them for you.
Okay,
I enjoy getting a good sliced pickle.
You're saying that they have that's the best thing since sliced pickles.
Did I say that? I don't make cheap jokes.
It's what you meant.
I'm worth $4.5 billion. Do I look like I make cheap jokes?
No, you make very expensive jokes every time.
Oh, Todd.
Welcome to the Serengeti, Mr. Johns.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
We've got your elephant gun, your rhinoceros gun, your gazelle darts, and your turkey net.
Thank you. I am very excited to get going on this safari. However, I will not be killing any animals. I am better than the Jimmy John's guy.
Is that not you? I read on the forum, Mr. James Johns coming.
It's
to...
It's true. It says right here, Mr. James Johns.
What are you doing? Hold on. Can I take a sidebar for a second?
Sure.
I have the clipboard right here. See, look.
I know you have the clip. What are you doing?
I'm just piping in.
Why? Your job is to hold the clipboard, and if I need the clipboard, I'll say, give me the clipboard, please.
But I'm saving you time. You don't have to say that. Do it.
We've got all the time in the world. We're just sitting in the African Serengeti waiting for an animal to come by to kill.
But we're not going to kill it. Mr. James
Jones.
Well,
we might have to now.
I'm sorry. I overheard. I get this all the time. It's my name, however, and I am a billionaire. But I am not interested. I'm not that James Johns.
Oh.
Oh, there's two James Johns in the world.
Well, there's actually, yes.
Did you write that down? Put it on the clipboard.
I ran out of ink.
What do you mean you ran? Will you excuse me for a moment? What are you doing?
My pen ran out of ink. What do you want me to do? Cut myself?
Two pens. You bring two pens. Are you crazy? We're in the middle of the African Serengeti.
Well, where am I going to keep the other pen?
In your pocket. You've got pockets, don't you?
I've got a pocket for one pen.
Put it in your pith helmet, for Christ's sake.
There's no holes in it.
Woo-wee! Jimmy John here, showing up late for my African safari.
Give me one of those gazelle dots.
Here you are, Mr. John. Yeah! Oh, my.
That came at me freaking fast.
Not that graceful, are you?
Only my bike messenger real, people are freaking
a real
fast.
Jimmy John's
Is it a real
showdown?
Pickle?
It's a real sliced pickle.
Is it a real sliced pickle?
That is a cheap joke, sir.
It is an expensive joke, sir.
That joke's worth at least 4 billion smackaroos.
Yes, it is.
Smackaroo being the native currency of this country, of course.
Here's a 500 million smackaroos to keep quiet about.
Well, this will buy us half a bag of potato chips.
At least one other pen.
Oh, there we go.
John, Ted?
Yeah.
Ted?
Yeah.
Do you know where the door is?
I was just feeling along the side of the wall.
Yeah.
It's just wall.
No sign of the suspects here.
Okay, be cool, be cool, be cool.
Moving on.
Be cool, Ted, be cool. Ted. Ted.
I'm really cool.
Well, I can't see you. I don't know how. You could be sweating bullets right now.
Well, I'm just sweating sweat.
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting.
Well, you can't even see me. How do you even know?
Because you're filling up this room with your stink and your dampness.
Hey,
it's
look,
like a sauna
look,
in here.
I am a natural man.
Pitch black sauna.
What?
What?
That's a great idea.
No, it's a
pitch black sauna. That's that's a great idea.
Yeah, except instead of hot rocks, we're just jumping around until your stinky friend sweats all over the place.
I'm not stinky. It's natural.
I beg to differ.
It's au naturel.
That doesn't...
That's French.
Don't try to impress me with your education, okay? You know I wanted to go to college, but I just didn't have the resources at the time. Okay, be cool. Be cool.
Okay.
They're throwing the gazelle darts now. They're not fucking around.
I'm just gonna go try this other wall.
Okay, it's cool. I'll try the other...
Oh, shit. Sorry, is that you?
What?
Wait, that's not you?
What?
Is that you?
No.
It's me.
Oh, my God. What is that?
I've been here the whole time.
Who are you?
My name is Michael.
Michael?
Michael
Bay.
Michael Bay, the director?
No.
Oh, there's another.
There's more than one Michael Bay.
There's
in the
two
world.
Michael Bays. Wow.
Two Michael Bays
there's
in this whole world?
Three.
Oh, God. You're also named Michael
Bay? My name's also Michael Bay. We met in a Michael Bay chat room on AOL.
Is one of you the director?
No. No, neither of us are.
Are you twins?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What?
Do you know where the door is, Michael Bay or Michael Bay?
Maybe.
Oh, God.
Okay.
It'll cost ya.
Okay. We just robbed that sandwich shop.
We have a few smackaroos we could give you.
Yeah, and some like day old bread. We got a bunch of day old bread.
We don't want your physical things. We want your intimacy.
I can tell you how I feel right now.
That's pretty.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
I want to have an argument.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, you're really good at that.
Well, hold on. You're much better at it.
No, I'm not.
You're so good at it. You're so good at arguing.
Satisfied. You
keep hurting. Look, I don't see why you always act like I'm the one who's so aggressive.
I always act like you're the... Okay. Oh, look. Where's the door? Why are you so stinky? Why do you have so much sweat come out of your pores?
I wasn't asking. I was observing. Those were observations.
It's hot in here.
It's hot in here because there's two Michael Bays in here sweating up the place.
Not to mention the mouth breathing.
Oh,
no,
is that an observation of me?
That's neither of us.
No. I don't breathe through my mouth.
I have allergies. It is the height of the hay fever
season.
Why
do you think it's so hot in here then? It's coming out of your hot mouth.
It's very pleasurable to watch them embody each other's characters in a mocking way. Wait, I enjoy it too.
You guys can see in here?
We have Vin Diesel eyes.
Oh, wow. Those are real?
Yeah.
How do you get one of those? How much bread does that cost?
Lots of smackaroos.
Oh. So we have to go to Africa.
We need to get more smackaroos.
Yeah. So can we get the door now? Can we get directions to the door?
Oh, I guess. Yeah, we enjoyed your argument. It's actually a hatch above you.
What?
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Why are you feeling in the walls the whole time?
Because how do I know there's a hatch above us?
I don't know.
I would never know that.
We're in the dark. You don't know.
In the dark.
You don't even
I'm
know what plane we're on. We could be standing on the ceiling the whole time.
How do I know this argument?
What if the physics could be, you know, it's all.
How do you want to be here with us?
What?
Yeah, stay here and argue forever.
You could be a Maccabee.
A what?
What?
A Maccabee.
Oh, I thought
Michael
you said Maccabee. What's a Maccabee? Is that a real thing? Is that a bird?
I don't know.
Are you attributes of a bird?
I'll call you Maccabee.
Think he ran for president.
What?
Maccabee.
The president?
Think he ran for president.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. There's no door in here. Okay. I'm going in. This is my worst nightmare.
All right. Shut up. Shut up for a second. You distract.
Okay. I'll shut up.
What? What are you doing?
Just tell me shut up all the time.
It's getting good again.
This is so good. Is it because maybe
people are taking things personally?
You want me to shut? You want me to shut up so my hot mouth stops heating up the room? Huh?
Okay. Tell me with your hot mouth. What are we going to tell me?
You distract the Michael Bayes.
How am I going to distract the Michael Bayes?
I don't care. I will find the hatch in the ceiling.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
You could have just asked for this long pole and ladder.
I don't know what they mean by that.
A long pole to push open the hatch.
May I have it?
I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You earned it.
Can I have the ladder too? Thank you very much.
We'll even push you up the ladder like those people that stuff Asians in the train.
That's okay.
Always wearing cargo shorts.
I'm just going to place my hands behind his knees.
Oh, God. Okay, that's very intimate. Wow.
I'm so tickling. Tickle.
This is my nightmare right now. Here, take the pole. I'm going
to... Okay, I got the pole.
It reminds me of a drive to Rochester all on time.
Okay, everybody be cool. Be cool. Be cool. Guys, get your hands off my knees. The cops are coming.
Okay, I'm just going to drag them down, your calves.
Attention, down Michael Bay.
Oh, shit.
We've discovered your hideout, and we're coming in with the Michael Bay blades.
Not the Michael Bay blades.
That's right, the Bay blades.
They cut Michael Bay's in no other form of life.
This isn't fair.
We'll just hang out.
Find a corner.
Dark corner.
I'm finding a corner.
How is this hard? It's a room. It's just a square room.
This argument is so delicious.
At least we're going out the way we like to live.
I'm so glad we couldn't see that.
But they're still in here with us.
Yeah, no, they've got a bunch of hot holes in their body heating up this room.
Do you have the ladder?
I think it's under one of the Michael Bays. Ew.
Jesus, Jonathan. Just breathing on me.
I like to be the big spoon.
I know, but it's like your hot breath just... on the back of my neck. Yeesh.
I have a cinnamon-flavored toothpaste that I like to brush my teeth with.
So you're preheating your breath?
I hate when Mom and Dad argue while they're cuddling.
I know.
It's really uncomfortable.
It makes me feel like they're about to get divorced, despite the fact that they're being intimate in a very strange place.
Well, intimacy is there's a whole spectrum of intimacy, you know, like, and a lot of times people can externally express a lot of things, but...
Hot breath!
Oh, God.
I feel like the hot cinnamon breath kills the germs better, okay? Would you rather have... stinky gingivitis breath or some cinnamon
heat? You could
use
mint. Mint will cool it down a little bit.
You and your mints.
Jonathan, I love mints.
Arguing about different flavors.
Do you think this is like, I just learned about metaphors in school?
Yeah.
Do you think these are metaphors for something else in their relationship?
Yeah, this is definitely a metaphor.
Do you think the kids can hear us?
Oh, shut up. They can obviously hear
me breathing.
Be cool.
Yeah, we should have got a two-bedroom apartment.
They should never have made us sleep underneath their bed.
I know, it's very uncomfortable.
There's a whole mattress. We got the pillow top.
That's true.
Between us. That's true. So they're, okay. They probably can't hear us.
I'll just try to go to sleep with this hot breath on my neck.
I'm going to try to sleep without every time you rolling over the Tic Tacs in your pajama pockets. Rattling, okay? You and your mints.
I just like to have a fresh mint whenever I need it, and you never know. And so good thing this sleeper has pockets.
What do you think the mint represents for Mom? Like, what do you think that means?
I think it represents lost dreams.
Oh, my
God. She's trying to hold on to them as tightly as she
can.
Right. But they're only as close as her pajama pockets.
Oh, wow. You're so good at this.
What do you think that the mints that Dad keeps eating represent for him?
Oh, the cinnamon flavored ones?
Yeah, the cinnamon flavored.
I think that's like how he wishes he was more passionate.
Yeah.
So he's trying to like add like heat, like bring heat and fire into him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they haven't had sex for a really long time.
Well, probably since I was conceived, I imagine.
I would think so.
I mean, I've been under this bed every night for 7 years.
I'm trying to big spoon you. It doesn't work if you're a knife, okay? Can you just curve?
Oh, so I'm a knife now?
You're stiff as a board over there, like a steak.
Well,
knife.
At least one of us is.
Oh, the analogies are flying like crazy right now. I learned about that, too.
Did you hear what Mom just said?
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, she was implying that Dad can't get erections anymore.
I don't know what that is.
No, those are hard penises to jab women with.
Oh, right. I think that's next week.
Dr. Peterson said that it had a lot to do with the high sodium content of my diet. Okay.
Is that a stab at me?
Yeah, because your like cooking is bland salt. And I need some fucking flavor.
Okay, I think this is actually literal. I don't think this is an analogy.
No, I think Dad was just...
like literally angry about that.
I think Dad was using an analogy for that time he wished he had been able to go fishing and wasn't able to, but it wasn't really Mom's fault.
I purposely make the food bland because salt is the best part of any meal.
What do you think the salt means?
I think it's because didn't she used to like live on the coast?
Yeah.
So you so salt it's like it and then it's a good meal.
Oh, she misses
the misses
ocean.
She misses the ocean.
Some meals just have flavor baked into them.
Oh, that's the sex thing again.
Oh, I don't fully understand what that is.
Even okay. If it was just a little variety, okay?
So
it's just
you'd
not
probably
lamb
prefer if I
every
put
week.
Cinnamon in everything? Just start flavoring everything with cinnamon?
Sounds pretty good, okay?
I don't think he means that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think she wants to flavor it with cinnamon.
I think they're both being like really insincere right now.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like maybe they need to learn how to communicate better.
Yeah.
Maybe they should come to my English class. I've been learning a lot about
hey,
like
kids.
What? What? Be cool.
Go to bed.
What? We can come on the bed?
No, go to sleep under the bed. On your bed.
You want to be us to be on fleek?
No.
I can't hear you, Mom. It's so much distance between us.
Did you mean that literally or did you mean that as an analogy?
I meant it as both.
Oh, my God. You should be a poet. Next up,
Pat! And that's our show. Thank you to Shepherd and Lyndon.
Yay.
Always Shepherd and Lyndon.
Branding is important.
Thank you.
Thank you to Dan Lyndon, who had to run, and to...
me?
Aaron
Shepherd. I say my name? Okay.
Yeah. That's perfect. It's great.
Okay.
And unfortunately, you can't see Shepherd and Lyndon anytime soon. But how can people keep up on what you are going to be doing?
So on Friday nights, I am part of the Throwgram at Huge Theater. So I was on the Close Quarters team earlier this year, and now we have put up a new format called Zoom, and our group is called The Mechanics. So check us out 8 o'clock on Friday nights at Huge. And then both Dan and I are in Kabam.
Which I love that show.
At 8 o'clock on Saturday nights. So improvised comic book. It's very stylized, very, very fun. If you like comics specifically from the 30s to the 80s, it's going to hit that that specific nerd inside of you.
Mm-hmm. And you have a chance of winning an original piece of comic art, which is always spectacular.
Yes, it's great. There's a comic book artist that is sketching during the first half of the show, and he actually will create the villain. And so he's drawing a cover based on the characters that are being created on stage. It's pretty phenomenal.
It's pretty cool. And that all happens at Huge Theater at 3037 South Lyndale. Go to hugetheater.com for all happenings at Huge. Philip, what's going on with you?
Well, one of the things that's happening at Huge on Huge Wednesdays in May, Shivin' Me Kittens is going to be doing our form, our Mom-do. Each Wednesday in May, one of our moms will come in and talk about mothering us, and then we will use that as inspiration for improvised scenes.
Now, Aaron, you've done OMG before we got our lady bits.
Yep.
Now, would you say that our Mom-do is more or less embarrassing?
Actually, I would say our Mom-do is probably a little bit less embarrassing,
okay.
Because the OMG stuff is like your own personal thoughts, and right. So it's still very painful to you because you can remember, like, I remember who I was when I wrote this, and now I'm telling all these people. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what kind of stories your mom has about you, Philip.
Oh, we won't know until the last Wednesday.
You don't even know.
I don't know what she's going to say.
Yeah, exactly. Check that out. Our Mom-do is a really, really fun show. And by the way, if you ever get a chance to check out OMG, that is one of my all-time favorite shows. I love that show
pretty,
so much.
Pretty great.
I will be coaching a show going on over at the Phoenix Theater, or one of the groups going up at this show called Improv Happy Hour. It's happening every other Tuesday. And that is a show that is put on by the Houlihans, which Philip is in. So Philip will be performing every Tuesday, and my group will be up almost every Tuesday. So check them out. They don't have a name yet, but they will.
And then they'll change it.
They will.
I just remembered, too, I will be part of a Wayfest on Wednesdays, the same nights as Shivin' Me Kittens. I am part of a group called Sausage and Breakups, so we are one of the teams. So we'll be playing on just one Wednesday night in May and one Wednesday night in June.
That's mostly New Yorkers, right?
It is. It's mostly New Yorkers, and then Katie Vanelli and I are the Grey Ducks. Which is Minnesota for Duck Duck Goose.
You can keep in touch with us on facebook.com/nextatbat. Send us an email, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com, and check out us and other great podcasts on noisepicnic.com.
Go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review it, use your words, and let us know what you think. Tune in next week when we're going to have the Second Wave Feminist Nightmare Enclave, which is also one of my all-time favorite groups. So basically, my all-time favorite groups are all women.
Yay!
Yeah, it's actually kind of true. That and Splendid Things. Until then, as always, Philip and I are going to argue about whose name should be on top.